excellent is your name, O Lord. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name, O Lord. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name, oh, how wonderful, how wonderful is your name, how wonderful is your name, how wonderful is your name, oh, Lord, how wonderful, how wonderful is your name. How wonderful is your name. How wonderful is your name, oh Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to bless you once again. We want to thank you. Because all around your name is always wonderful. Your name is always excellent. We thank you for all that you have done for us right from January up to this time. Thank you for every messages that have been passed across. Lord, as we go into your world this afternoon, once again, let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, whatever you have for individual, Lord, it shall never go bypass them without grabbing it in the mighty name of Jesus. As I proceed for this message, Father, speak through me in the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of the day, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God is wonderful. We just had our brother Emmanuel and sister Lydia. They have a bouncing baby boy. What is that thing that is giving you concern that you thought God will not do? It is your turn. God will perform wonders in your life in Jesus' name. That excellent thing that God has for you shall be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. Last week, Pastor was here. He was talking about overcoming worries. Through what? Through cross. That message appeared to be a little bit longer, but believe me, that is how God wanted. Because as many that are worried, they are able to hold on to something. So today, we'll be looking at the topic, Reach Towards God. Reach Towards God. This particular topic, a friend asked me a question about 3 months back. He sent a text message to me and pointed my attention to Luke 12. Verse 16 to 22 or so, that what do I understand? He asked me to take my time to before respond. So as I prayed, the Holy Spirit began to minister to me, even before I was ready to interpret in my own way to him, but Holy Spirit began to interpret it in a diverse way to me. And I begin to jot it down. And I felt that, yes, that my friend should not only be the beneficiary of that particular question that he asked me. So today I'm having the opportunity to talk about it as well to the children of God. Because when we live for eternity, we have to seek for God's kingdom. And when you seek for God's kingdom, that means you are living above earthly possession. That's what it means. I want you to turn your Bible with me to Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading from verse 16. Luke chapter 12 from verse 16 to 32.
Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things will be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.
Read on up to 32.
Then he said to his disciples, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear like flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Thank you. Children of God, let me ask you a question. What did you bring into this world when you were born? Can anyone tell me? Nothing. Okay, what will you take with you when you leave? Nothing. Brethren, if you read that Luke 12 from verse 1, you will discover that Jesus Christ was teaching that life is bigger than possession. He was teaching various things to the disciples and to the multitude. In that scripture, Luke 12. But this issue in Luke 12 began when a man interrupted Jesus and demanded that he settle an inheritance dispute between him and his brother. When you read from verse 1 to 12, you will see that Jesus was teaching the crowd. Then this man suddenly interjected in verse 13. Can you read verse 13, brother? Verse 13.
Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.
This has nothing to do with whatever Jesus Christ was teaching from verse 1 to 12. It shows that man was worried. Whatever they are saying is none of his business. He was so worried about that. He was looking for an opportunity to just make sure that he asked this question. And see what Jesus Christ immediately exposed the real problem is of that man. It is not the inheritance itself, but the greed. And that is why, let's read from verse 13 to 15 now. Once again, 13 to 15.
Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.
Yes, life does not consist in the abundance possession. And what this is saying is that life is not determined by one's possession, even when someone is very wealthy. Life is not determined through that. If you read different version of that, you will understand better, because I think Amplified Bible put it in a different way. So, today, we will discover what it means to be truly rich towards God. But first, let's see the danger of self-centered prosperity. The danger of self-centered prosperity, that everything is centered on you. Let's read from verse 16 to 21 again.
Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'"
Up to 21.
"But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things will be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God."
Brothers and sisters, the rich man's land produced abundantly. It was good yield. It was good harvest. But I want you to note something there. The harvest itself was not the problem. The problem was his heart. Because repeatedly he said, "My crops, my barn, my grain, my goods." Do you find yourself in that position? My salary, my office, my car. Do you think you are better than other people? God has given us the grace. God has given us the opportunity. God has extended his grace to us to possess those things. But when you keep saying, "Mind this, mind that," as if it is by your own power that you are able to acquire that, you need to examine yourself. So, this man, the harvest was not the problem. His heart was his. In everything, there is no mention of God. He could not even remember his family. He did not mention family. Not to talk of mentioning the neighbors. He didn't mention that. And not to mention the poor. Everything mine, 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 mine. So what am I saying here is that everything revolves around him. So what are those things that you have? That everything is just revolving around you. Even your secular job in the office, you feel you want to do everything alone. Rather than delegate, you want to do it alone. Brethren, don't allow everything to be centered on you. Even your home, at a point, sister, brother, you need to compliment each other. When the children start growing up, you need to delegate to them. Do this, do that. Let's clap for our sisters. Again, I'm not being partial to the sister. And I'm sure, why am I saying this is that, I'm sure when the sister and the kitchen, they call their children, "Get me this, get me that." Yes. At a point, they were the only one doing it. Why we cross leg and read newspaper or listen to television? Sister, at a point, we not center everything on him. Even ourselves, the man of the house, we should not center everything on us. We should make sure that, yes, we delegate. When you look at a stagnant water that is not flowing, when water keeps flowing, let's assume water keeps flowing to it, and it's just absorbing everything. When the water then accumulates and becomes stagnant, with time, what will happen? Yes? Somebody already said it. It will be smelling. Even in our system, they used to tell us, "Drink water, drink water." If you don't drink water, if you visit toilet, you will know from the color of your urine what is going on. You might be feeling headache. So, things have to flow. That possession that God has given unto you, it needs to flow to people. To God be the glory in this church, which I will not mention him now. I see where things are being flow all the time. All the time, it never ceases flowing. I always imagine, how is this man managing? Go to him, it will flow out. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we should not be like a stagnant water. Blessings were never meant to be stored. Whatever God has blessed us out with, it is never meant to be stored. God has blessed us to become channel of blessing for others. No amount of things you have given as a gift that is too small. Don't think that if I give him 1 rehearsal, it may look ridiculous. Brethren, give. So my question are, because God has given you this, am I a steward or an owner? I want you to ask yourself inwardly and answer yourself. Am I a steward or an owner? Do my blessings lead me closer to God? Maybe some of us, when we are looking for a job or we are looking for something, every second we pray, every now and then we pray, call for any program in the church, we are there. The moment that job happens. Yes, some of us, we might be busy because of the job, but we still have to squeeze out the time. Not to center everything on that job only. You keep saying, oh, it's my job, I cannot attend. It's my job, I cannot attend. Like that fool. God take his life. If God take that job away from us, what are we going to do? We are not going to do anything. So, do my blessing lead me closer to God? What God has given to you, are those things brought you closer to God? Do you sit in your office and say, God, I thank you for all that you have done? At times it might be negative, thank God, because the Bible says, in everything do what? Give thanks. It might be negative. Please and please thank God. Because when one door closes, what happens? Many more will be open. Isaiah said, I will open a double door that no one will be able to shut it. Does my success make me more generous? Whatever success you have attained, do those things, have they made you generous? Did you see other people, and even people you don't know? At times when I'm driving, when the traffic light stop, I saw people wind down their glass, call the people that are picking the things by the road, give them something. One thing I always notice is the smile. The smile. Does our success make us more generous? In this Luke that we have just read, verse 15 to 21, it shows that God is above gold. God is above gold. That is why Jesus warned in verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out and guard yourself against every form of greed. That is amplified version. I'll put it that way. The rich fool wealth. The rich fool made wealth his security. That is how he has viewed it. Whatever he has acquired, mine. He thought that is enough for him, that he begin to merriment, begin to enjoy himself. Proverbs 27 verse 24 say, that reminds us, riches do not endure forever. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. Even in that comfort zone of our office, it never lasts forever. Something can suddenly happen. Before you know, the journey that has been straight can begin to bend. Then you begin to worry. What is going on? So, brethren, many people spend their entire life preparing for retirement, but they are not preparing for the eternity itself. And this is what we should be doing. Put God first. Put God first. The question I'm going to ask you now is God first in your time? Do you consider God first in your timing? Do you consider God first in your finances? When the salary comes, what do you think? I will not talk much about that. Do you consider God in your finance? Even in your ability, do you consider God first? You are very good in the office. You are very good in the office. You are doing this. You are doing that. Do you give credit to God? Are you giving him that credit? Even in our worship, do you put God first? So what occupies our mind most? What occupies our mind? Is it God or money? Brethren, if God is truly first, it will show in your activities, even within the church of God, within every program that they are calling, even in your own life, it will show. People will see you as an ambassador of Christ. Your life pattern will reflect who you are. When you call yourself that I'm a Christian, they will say, no wonder. Not asking you, are you sure? Because your way of life will reflect how people view you. If God is truly first, it will show in your calendar, in your life. Brethren, let us put people above pleasure. When you look at that rich man, he never considered helping anybody. All his thought is for himself. Mind this, mind that, mind this, mind that. He never thought about the hungry, those that are hungry. He never thought about them. He never thought about the needy. What about those that are struggling? He never thought of them. What was his solution? His own solution is to build a bigger barn so that he can have more, he can store more abundantly for himself and now relax and begin to enjoy himself. So his solution was build bigger barns, not bless more people. He's not focusing on that. All he wants to do is to build a bigger barn. And here, coming to what is it to be rich towards God? What is it to be rich towards God? It means God must come first in everything. We are not talking about financial rich only. God might have given you that wisdom, the knowledge. He might have given you that. When we talk about rich towards God, I'm not talking a material rich only. The talent that God has given to you, your professional that God has given to you, you have to put God first. Then, what next is people. People around you will be the second one. People around you follow. And the last one is yourself. That is why the brothers will get the salary. He will distribute it to the rest of the family, the wife and the children's school fees. 95% of the salary may go to the family. If he take himself, if he just go to the most expensive mall and bought something, but a good man from a good family that put God first, we put his family first. After he has put God first, that is people around, come second. And to our sisters also, When the food is not enough at home, what do? They prepare for the husband first, they cut for the husband. The next thing, they cut for the children. The rest, it may not be enough. They will now say, okay, let me manage this. So, let God come first in whatever we do. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. When you give out, you will lack nothing. In fact, God always has a way of doing it. If you have sown seed to this side, you may be looking that the reward will come from this side. It may come from your back. The reward this side will just tap you. Then you look back. You begin to wonder, how has this happened? To be rich towards God means God must come first, people come second, and yourself come last. So that Proverbs 28, verse 27, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing. That is, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who turn a blind eye. I don't want to read it full. Unfortunately, it has been projected. That shall never be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen? Imagine we are standing before God. God will never ask you, how large was your house? How big is your car? How expensive is your car? He will never ask you those things. He will never. The question he will ask you is, do you love people? Do you love people? Did you help the needy? Those are the questions that God will ask you. Because God has given you that wealth or that possession. God will ask you, have you been like that man? Mind this, I begin to enjoy. Above all, God will ask you, did you serve my kingdom? Brethren, let's begin to examine ourselves. Let's examine our life. Let's examine our day-to-day activities. Whether we are meeting up to the standard that God is expected of. Again, when I talk about the rich, I'm not talking about the material things only. Your talent, you might be rich in that talent that God has given to you. Do you keep it to yourself? It might be your profession. Maybe somebody needs advice or professional advice. If you charge for everything, let's say I used to meet some of our doctors here. I complain, okay, maybe on behalf of somebody or myself. They have never one day said, okay, brother, for this consultation, you have to do this. I've said it here one time. Somebody told me, Francis, I want you to come and do this. I told him straight away that money is not everything. It was strange to him until about 5 years later that he called me to confirm, yes, I believe money is not everything. Let's support our neighbors, the needy, and let's work for the kingdom of God. Now, let us examine the foolishness of trusting on earthly security. Because that is what that man has trusted upon, the rich fool. The rich fool says, so, you have many goods laid off for many years. Can you imagine? He has even calculated that for many years. He did not know what is going to happen in the next moment. But God said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. The man prepared for everything. The enjoyment, if it is these days, maybe we're looking at what 7-star hotel he will be going to. Or what kind of food that he's going to take. Or what kind of restaurant he will be going for. He prepared for everything except death. He did not prepare for that. Imagine as a tourist, you visited an hotel, you take a room in a 7-star hotel, and you got there, you are not comfortable with what is there. Then you call the manager, change this, change that, change this, change that. Is that wise? No, answer me, is that wise? You are changing the hotel that you just booked for maybe 5 days. It is temporary. The manager will simply ask you, hey, bro, what is wrong with you? This is not your permanent home. Then you now remember that, yes. Why spend so much on room that you will leave tomorrow? That is the question for the man. Because he's a tourist. He's there for a while. And he said, oh, I forgot. This is not my permanent home. That is what many of us are doing. We are investing on the earthly things, neglecting the heavenly things. Here in this church, again, we are investing in heavenly things. One of our missionaries was here last week when he was sharing her testimony. Honestly, I was wondering, can I go to that particular place? But she was so confident that even with whatever she has faced in Nepal, he still has the confidence of going there. That is the talent that God has given him. I'm standing here in the full air-conditioned auditorium talking to people. She's at the field walking. But in this church, we are sitting comfortably in an AC hall. But again, we are using our possession for the heavenly things. Because the mission that this church has supported, that particular mission is one of the missions that this church is supporting. So many missions in Africa, in India, in Europe, that this church, we are investing in heavenly things. The founding fathers of this church, they established it in investing in heavenly things. And so shall it continue in the mighty name of Jesus. So we should not invest heavily in earthly things while we are neglecting the heavenly things. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you should not invest. Invest and save for your future as well. But at the same time, don't center everything on you only. This world itself is temporary. We are pilgrims passing through. We are just passing by. So, we talk about the eternity above ease. Eternity above ease. The rich man's goal was very simple. It was very simple. Number one, to relax. To eat, to drink, and to do what? To enjoy. To enjoy. That is the only way. But God called him a fool. Why? Why was he called a fool? Because life's purpose is bigger than personal comfort. So, retirement from a career may be appropriate. Retirement from God's service may not. Even as a pastor, you are a pastor. Okay, because of the laid down rules, maybe a certain age, they have to tell you, you have to retire. You retire from the pulpit. You have not retired from the word of God. Brother Stanley in India, one of the, I think, excellent men program, right? Is it combined program? Excellent men. No, the program we had there, leaders, oh, yes. Thank you, brother. Out of retirement, we still reach to him. If you don't know, Brother Stanley was here during the 30-year anniversary. He was one of the founding leaders of this church. At a point, even here, Pastor Abraham was worried that maybe he's standing too much. But he stood for a good 45 minutes, still talking the word of God. He has retired, but he never tired. This is not just to pastor alone. You might be a pastor in your home. Don't go into retirement. Because I said that you delegate when your children is growing up. And you now say, my boy is now rich. Henceforth, you will leave the message in this home. Don't retire. In God's service, you never retire. As long as God gives us breath, we have kingdom work to do. We have it to do. So, brethren, the heart of matter is this. What do you desire? This is the central question. What do you desire? If I ask you, what do you desire most? Desire itself is a very powerful word. The inheritance dispute began because desire creates conflict between brothers. That's verse 13. That brother sees that, Jesus Christ is well respected, people listening to him. He's thinking in his mind that my brother might hit me, might try to take more. But if Jesus Christ has divided it for us, I'm sure my brother will not complain. It's like Pastor Abraham come and say, okay, you take this, you take that. I'm sure none of us will argue. Let's read that verse 13 again.
Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.
Then 14.
But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?
Yeah, bro. Who made me judge over? It might be a trap for him. And said that, yes, he has divided it. But Jesus said, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? I think there's another version I read. I can't recollect now. It was very, very simple. The way they have written it there. Very, very simple. If I can get it. Okay, let's move on. Then, in verse 15 again, read.
And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for yes, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.
Jesus Christ realized that it is greed that make that man to ask him that question. So, the inheritance dispute began because desire created conflict between brothers. The rich fool was driven by desire. That man, he was driven by his desire. Worry is also driven by desire. When we are worried, it's often driven by desire. Will it be possible? Will that be? You begin to doubt. But last week you were told, overcoming worry through Christ. Whenever you are worried, look unto who? Jesus, the author and finishers of our faith. Worry is often driven by desire. Greed is misplaced desire. There are four truths here. Sinful desire can affect anyone. Sinful desire can affect anyone. Wealth can become more important than family. When you pursue wealth, imagine maybe in Oman it's not happening, but maybe in Europe and America it's happening. Where people do work, 8 hours job, 12 hours job, but people 3 days, they will not come home. In that period, anything can happen to the family. So wealth can become more important than family. What can push God out of our life? When we desire for wealth too much, that may not allow us to have time for Him. They call for program. Oh, I will listen online. They call for prayer. The Bible says where two or three people are gathered together in my name, I'm there. My family is here. We are going to pray at home. When we pray here, when we gather together here, it might be one word that God will plant in your heart. And that word will go forever in your heart. God will help us in Jesus' name. Number four is our desire must continually be examined. You must be examining what type of desire that you desire. What are the type of desire that you envisage? You have to keep examining them. These are heart check questions for us. Do I think more about God or possession? As I relay this message, as I disseminate this message, as I pass this message to you, what is coming to your mind? Am I following up the wealth more than the God? Do I think more about God or possession? Do I compromise to gain financial, to gain financially? Did you compromise? Have you been tempted by anything? Does possession determine your happiness? You are happy only when you have. If you don't have, you allow the worry to ride you, and people will begin to ask you, "Hey, brother, what is the problem?" Before you even say anything, you become emotional, and they begin to pet you. You win sympathy. That means you've allowed the possession, that worry, to determine your life. You need not to allow that. When you are worried, look unto Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if you are worried, just go back home, to a website of our church. Look at Pastor Abraham's message last week. It is very, very deep. Look unto God all the time. So does possession determine your happiness? Is it only when you are happy that when you have possession or your target that you are happy? Even when you are not happy, testify to the glory of God. Even when things is going negative side, testify to the glory of God. Have that belief that yes, this is happening because when a gold has not passed through fire, it will never shine. Have that in your mind. Then, how do I react when I lose something valuable? Maybe suddenly, unexpectedly, you lose your job. Because of that, you sit at home. Let them continue in their intercessory prayer. After all, I've been going there and this happened to me. When things happen, God has a way of taking you to the next level. Your reaction also matters. How you react. Because devil will say, yes, can you see your son? Can you see your daughter? But when you are bouncing, you are smiling. Even devil will get confused. Say, is this brother a twin? Why is he so happy? So what am I saying here is that when you lose something valuable, it might not be something that is physical. Whatever that you lose, go back to God and challenge Him. Lord, I know you allow this to happen for a purpose. Now the challenge is this, that purpose must not be delayed. But God answers in His own time. He will answer you when He feels that He's safe for you. God will continue to answer us in Jesus' name. Now let's look at the antidote, that is the cure. Trust God and seek His kingdom. That is why I added that verse 22 to 32 to this message. If you see, after warning about greed, Jesus moved further to talk about worry. Because my message will have been end where I stop now. But because pastor's message last week keep ringing in my mind. And because Jesus also connected being greed to worry. That's why I thought, okay, I have to extend it. Reach towards God. So after warning, Jesus talked about worry. Why is he talking about? Because greed says, I need more. And what is worry saying? What if I don't have enough? That is what the worry will say. The greed will always say, I need more, I need more. But it will be worry will say, what if I don't have enough? Both reveal misplaced of trust. Let's see Jesus' example. He mentioned ravine. They neither sow nor reap. Yes, God filled them. Then he mentioned lilies. They neither labor nor spin. Yet God clothed them with beauty. God clothed them beautifully. Do you even know whom your father is? I'm asking you. Not your paternal father. I'm asking about your father in heaven. Do you know who he is? There are some group of people in an aircraft. This group of people, they were flying 10,000 above sea level. And suddenly there are turbulence. Everybody was worried. And one girl was sitting down, was just reading paper. I said, hey, little girl, why are you not disturbed? Everybody is disturbed. Oh, you don't know? My father is the pilot. She has that confidence that is her father is the pilot. The same way, who is the pilot of your life? God. Challenges will come. He will create panic in your mind. You sleep, sleep will come. If you are the type that sleep earlier, maybe you sleep around 10 o'clock. By 12:30, you wake up. Why did this happen? Why did it happen? You begin to worry. After some time, sleep come again. What time will you wake up again? Who can tell me? Experience. Yes, you don't want to talk while I talk. 3 o'clock. Another wake up 3 o'clock. Then you begin to ruminate over it. You begin to think over those things. Doctor used to tell us you sleep 8 hours. I wonder why they always talk like that. Because 8 hours is very tough for somebody to sleep. Something will just wake you up. So you begin to think, worry over those things. Brethren, the pilot of your life is God. Relax. Put everything upon him and continue. He will pilot you to your destination in Jesus' name. So don't be afraid. And if you are not going to be afraid, church, as I said, our Father in heaven is our pilot. He's piloting our lives. And if you are not going to be afraid, this is the key. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. Verse 31, brother, read.
But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you.
There is terms and condition there. What is the terms? Seek first the kingdom. And what is the follow-up?
And all these things shall be added to you.
God never said little things. All those things. All these things. You can make your own list and begin to pray to God. Lord, I'm seeking your kingdom. All these things, I want you to add it. You make your own list and talk to God that now you have given instruction. I'm seeking your kingdom and sincerely table those things, because the Bible also has given us the privilege to choose. He said all these things will be added. This is the cure for greed. And this is the cure for worry. This is the cure for misplaced desire. The question is not how much do I have. The question is who has my heart? That is the question we should be asking. Now, in a summary, as I round up, what does it mean for you or to you to be rich towards God? Brother and sister, from the story, know that the rich man's problem is not being wealthy, but of self-centered living without God, not giving credit to God for what God has done. He focuses entirely on my cross, my barn, my surplus. That is verse 17 to 18. And not showing any gratitude to God for the provision. So, brethren, to be rich towards God means God-centered identity. You give credit to God. Even in your project, in whatever you are doing, if you succeed, you have to give the credit to God. Center everything to God. Security and blessing come from God, not from possession, not from what you have. Your security will only come from there. Then there should be internal investment. Give precedence to those things that last beyond life. Matthew 6:33. Can you quickly look into that? Matthew 6:33.
Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Okay. E.g., faith, love, obedience have positive impact on people. Seek those things. All other things will be added unto you. Generosity and stewardship. So, view managing resources as entrusted by God. Willingness to give, you must be willing to share, and you must be willing to bless people. When you do this, you reach towards God. There should be internal awareness, living with the understanding that life itself is temporary. You must establish relationship with God, knowing God personally, not just gathering material wealth, and valuing spiritual depth over outward success. You must value spiritual depth over outward success. In a nutshell, to be rich toward God is to measure my life, not by what I store up, but how I love, how I trust, and how I reflect God in my life. We should live a God-centered life instead of a self-centered one. When you do this, you are rich towards God. So, the rich man once again asked, what shall I do with my burdens? But he never asked, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? One question here is self-centered. And the other question is kingdom-centered. And this is the final challenge. How is your heavenly portfolio? Your heavenly portfolio that you are preparing, how is it? Are you putting God above gold in that portfolio? Are you putting people above pleasure? Are you putting eternity above ease? Brethren, the message has been passed across. Hold on to those or any of it that you feel that God is ministering to you now. To be rich toward God is to live a life that is centered upon God. May God bless his word. Amen.
You can do better than that. This is for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. What a word from heaven. The question we should be asking ourselves this moment is, are you rich towards God or you are rich towards yourself? Something we need to give priority attention to. Let's think about it. Are you seeking God first, or every other thing has become a priority to you except God? We must know that whatever God has put in our hands and in our lives, based on the word we have heard today, belongs to God. If not at all, your life belongs to God. That was why God called the rich fool in that Luke chapter 12, verse 20, according to the word of God we heard, "You fool. You fool." Okay, every other thing you have belongs to you. Fine. Expand the band, tear it down, and build more. But your life belongs to me. I'll take it now. If we think what we have around us belongs to us, don't forget that breath you have in your nostril, it belongs to God. And so I wrote down here, to think that what you have around you belongs to you, and so you have command over it, is absolute foolishness in the eyes of God. My prayer is that we'll be wise and not fool. Finally, we are stewards, therefore, of whatsoever God has put in our lives and in our hands. That includes our children. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. The job God has put in your hands is God that put it there. The finance in your hand, he gave it to you. Are you faithful with your time? Let us rise up. Are you dedicating everything to that thing God has put in your hand except God? We are going to pray and say, "Lord, help me to be a better steward. We are only caretakers. We are not owners." We pray that we'll be better steward of the job you have put in our hands, the finances you have put in our hands, even our children that you have put in our lives, the breath you have put in our nostrils. May we be good stewards, bearing in mind that we will give account of it all. Or even God can come in his time to take account of it, like he did to that rich fool. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for using your servant immensely this afternoon to remind us again that we are stewards, even of our lives, let alone the jobs, the properties, the children, everything that we have access to. Therefore, we pray, Lord, that you help us to apply wisdom, to know that we'll give account of it all. We pray for your servant you have used this afternoon to draw our attention to these things, because I know some of us, we have already taken custody of those things that it belongs to us. We ask, Lord, that you enrich him the more, that you empower him to continue to hear from you and to speak your word boldly and bluntly. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, my Father. We rededicate our lives to you. Every substance you have committed to our hands, we recommit them to your hands. Because we now know that we are not owners. We are only stewards. Take all the glory, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.